Hello, everyone. Let me try to get situated here, get everything going. I mean, my computer is still not working, so I'm in odd angles trying to get this stuff done. And then let me get up the proper channel. So if you're joining on the replay, we're going to talk tonight about Q&A for accountability. And Kathy's going to put questions for me in a separate screen over here so I can keep up with you guys. So if you use hashtag ask, try saying that, then that will pull out questions super fast for Kathy and she can get them to me. I apologize for looking like bullshit on the top. This is like a top I got from someone, but I was all dressed up today, looking all cutie patootie. And then I got smoking ass hot when we podcasted. So Kathy and I did two podcasts today. And I had to go upstairs and put shorts and a t-shirt on. I was like, I can't even do this anymore. So I am for sure getting comfy. And then after this, I am going to be going upstairs, washing my face and enjoying some downtime with my spoonie, because I hadn't seen the spoonie all day. Somebody asked about my computer situation. It's bullshit. They're not even coming to fix it until next Monday. So they're supposed to come then. It'll be fine. I'm up and functioning and working, so I can't complain that bad. I literally have a laptop and two fucking monitors. So it's not like I'm, sitting here and it's like first world problems. But we are going to hopefully unplug the one that's not working just to give me some landscape, because now I have too much shit on my desk. So we're going to talk today. So whoever loves my lips, Laura Gray, let me just tell you, one of the tribe members, I think it's Tracy Lewis. I need to get, I don't have the thing in here with me, but she sent me some lippies, and I think she makes them herself. So if she's on here, I don't know what color it is, but I'm loving it. It's very soft. I think it is Tracy Lewis. So anyway, I got them today. And I got them when Kathy was here, and I was like, oh my God, somebody sent me lip glosses. And I was so, I barely could even like concentrate. Cause y'all know me. I'm like, one, I love a good, Louie Lou, whatever that means. Yes. So is that the name of her? Somebody tell me more about it. Cause I had to like briefly scan her letter to me, but this is the brown color and I love it. I tell you what I like about it. It's very moisturizing. It's, like, I wear a lot of the matte lipsticks and stuff, and they're not super moisturizing always. So, anyway, I got three new ones yesterday. Well, I did it this weekend. I went to Sephora and got a couple of other good colors. So, I've got all kinds of amazing lip shades coming out, ladies. Stay tuned. You never know what I'm going to have. But I love doing my lips. I think that's my favorite thing. So, all right. So if you have any questions, go ahead and ask now. Go ahead and type in hashtag ask so I can start talking about all the things you guys want to talk about. And then somebody tag Tracy if she's here. If not, just tag her. That way she'll know. Oh my gosh. I don't know what, I don't know anything about all this. I need to figure this out. So I'll have to do some research on this. Somebody type the name in one more time. So what the name of the place is. She gave me a card and everything. I can look all this up. But she's like on Etsy and stuff. People ask me about my lipstick all the time. That's like the most. Somebody said I'm fuzzy in and out. Sound is fine. Let me see if I stay still, if it helps. Sometimes I wonder if it's because I'm moving around so much. But I will say, let me clean the screen. A lot of times what happens is Facebook is a little bit funky on their group app. So I don't know if there's like a problem there. But anyway, let's see. Oh, and somebody likes my glasses. These are Jimmy Choo's. Just Jimmy Choo's with a little bling on the side. It's a Facebook glitch. I was thinking it was a Facebook thing. Some of my public lives have been that way, and they've been trying to fix it, and I keep updating my app. So it's like sometimes it's working, sometimes it's not. One of the things I did want to tell you guys about accountable that I heard today that was so good. I was listening to a book, and they were talking about accountability, and since that's what we're studying this month. So I hope you guys have gone through the accountability program. and that you are enjoying it. So if you're enjoying it, will you please post or like tie or do some likes or something that you like it. If there's anything that you think we need to cover before the end of the month, I'll be very happy to add some bonus stuff in. But I heard something today that was about think about accountable, and it like one of the key like phrases in the word accountable is able. When you are allowing, like, there's two types of accountability. There's going to be the internal, which is what I'm trying to teach you this month, and then plus your external. But whichever one you use, the whole point of accountability is to make you able. So I want you guys to really think about that, because I want you focused on, like, when you're holding yourself accountable, it's not so that you can sit around and have a like a shit show about like what is going on in your life. It's so that you get to see the shit show. And I think that's a lot of times, guys, that you guys have a hard time with. It's like, I don't have a problem looking at everything that's not correct in my life in the moment. Like, I just don't. And it's, I was telling Kathy today, and it's what I tried to like really emphasize in the accountability program, is that when you release self-judgment, like when you just decide, like, it is not worth beating the shit out of myself up over problems and stuff, but it is totally worth seeing it, accepting it, and trying to do better, and trying to figure out how to do better, and to ask questions on how to do better and stuff, that's when all of a sudden your life starts, like, totally changing. Like, that has been a game changer for me. I think about the difference between me and people who are, you know, like, when I set goals, like, I set all kinds of goals, and I don't meet a lot of them. I just don't. And I'm fine with that. But I also set a lot of goals and meet a lot of them. And I'm fine with that, too. The whole purpose of it is just to learn how to just do and show up different in your life. And so I'm able to hold myself accountable and to honestly look at things, because I just decide that I don't beat myself up over it, which means I don't tell myself that there's a problem with me. There may be a problem with my process. I may not be thinking the best things. Those things might be happening, but it's not because I'm fundamentally broken, hopeless, or whatever. So I hope that helps, but I just really want you guys to like think about the whole idea of, if you're not willing to do a 24-hour plan and assessment every single day, like if you're not willing to do one, you need to be asking yourself why. It's almost always going to come down to, the reason why I'm not doing things is because I'm afraid I can't do it. And the only reason I would be afraid I can't do it is because of what I will feel if I don't. And whatever it is you'll feel, if you'll feel failure, if you'll feel disgust, if you'll feel like a loser, whatever, that's always going to be driven because of something you're choosing to think about yourself. That is the only thing happening. So if the only thing that's stopping you from actually doing 24-hour plans until you get them to where they're like happening consistently, and then they're happening where you're following them, then they're happening where you're following them to a T and stuff, the only thing stopping you is going to be your own self-judgment and bullshit and fear of what you'll think of yourself. Well, duh, fix that part. Don't stop doing the 24-hour plan because of what you'll think about you. That's the easiest thing in the world to fix. Let me tell you how it's easy. You do it every single day and think some shit until you learn how to quit thinking shit about yourself. The problem is, though, is that you're going to have to do like 42 of those plans where you think shit about yourself and not do it right until number 43 is the one you're like, oh, today I'm just going to skip the beating up part. I'm going to look at what went right, and then I'm going to look at what I'm going to fix tomorrow. Then the magic starts happening. But you got to go through a lot of bullshit at first. You just have to. All right, now the questions are rolling in. So let's get started. I've been planning and exercising faithfully for 3 weeks and no loss. As a matter of fact, I've gained. Not too messed up about it on the treadmill now, but I'm just worried. So if you're worried, you need to like remember that it's going to solve nothing. If you weren't worried, what would you be changing and doing? So if you're planning and exercising faithfully and not having losses, my first question is, are you following the plans? If you're not, then that's the next place to work on. It's like, okay, I'm really good at planning. I'm really good at writing the things down. But what I'm not doing just yet is I'm not actually following it every single day. So what is it going to take for me to follow it? And I would just ask myself, the only reason why I'm not following it is because I do these things. Like I either, like I eat every day at 4 o'clock, or I'm planning things that are too hard for me to follow right now. And I haven't really started doing the realistic planning. I haven't been leaving 2 to 3 bites behind. So if you weren't worried about it, like think about if you're not losing, it's time to switch something. What are you willing to switch? What is something easy to change up this week and do something new about? What's the best way to get out of my own way? Shit's gotten real. The best way to get out of your own way is to like stop getting in it. Like I need to know how you're getting in your own way. Like that's the point. Like it's like guys, when you're getting in your own way, it's because you're thinking something. What are you thinking? It isn't that the shit's getting real. Everybody's like, I'm going to think the shit gets real on things and keep going. The question is when it's like, when it's hard, what are you like going to sit around and do? What are you going to not do? What kind of conversation will you refuse to have with yourself when it gets hard? For a lot of you, you're sitting around and you're like somebody wrote about this. She was sitting on a couch and she was having a food urge. She wanted to eat ice cream. She talked herself out of it. She was having a conversation like, no, we're not going to have that. We're not having that, blah, blah, blah. Then she went and sat on the couch with it and she sat in her discomfort. And then she ended up eating the ice cream. I don't think she was truly sitting in discomfort. I think she was sitting in misery. Like, I really don't want to be having this craving right now. I really don't want to be doing this. Guys, when you sit in discomfort, first of all, you're not arguing with yourself. You're not saying, I can't have that. I shouldn't be having that. That wasn't on my plan. That kind of stuff. You're just supposed to like, when you notice a craving, just say, yeah, it's normal. I really would like to have that. I can have it tomorrow if I want it. I started having conversations of like, this is how it feels in my body. One of the best ways to sit with an urge and to get out of your own way is to think about what you're thinking about. And then you tell yourself, what am I feeling right now, like in my physical body? Like, don't sit there and think I'm feeling lonely or I'm feeling this. Say like, here's what I'm actually physically feeling. Like, we do this at camp a lot. I have them sit with a piece of paper and close their eyes. And while their eyes are closed, they have to figure out what feeling they have and what is physically happening in their body. So a lot of times we do this on night one, and on night one, most of them are scared shitless, nervous. They're afraid of what other people think. There's like all these things going on, right? Like some of them have low level anxiety. They've never flown before. They're coming into a room full of people. They're introverts. They've got like 150 of their tribe sisters like, wah, looking at them. And then they got me yelling at the stage, right? So there's a lot of shit going on inside their body. So I have them just sit there quietly for a minute and be like, okay, here's what I'm feeling in my body. Like my feet are hot. My face is flushed. I barely can catch my breath, that kind of stuff, right? And then we write that down. And then what we do is we say, okay, now that's the worst it's ever going to get. Like all this stuff you're afraid of, all of the things you're thinking, like when an urge is happening, somebody just said they should have watched this before diving face into a Krispy Kreme. So now the worst part that's going to happen is shame, probably. I mean, if she's got the vomit face, I'm assuming it's shame. But like, let's just say it's shame or disgust or hopelessness or whatever, right? That's the worst that's going to happen. Can you roll with that and make a better choice? Can you roll with that and just be like, but I'm still not going to eat? Just not. And can you be calm with that? Just be like, yeah, this is the worst. It's going to feel like my mouth's going to water. And I'm probably going to about every, I don't know, 3 seconds, think about that ice cream and have to remind myself, we're not having that today. When I sit in discomfort, I don't literally sit on the couch in discomfort. I usually tell myself, go find something to do because we're not having that right now. And I always make my something to do something very disassociated with food and very pleasurable. Like I will either read, I will zone out in front of the television, I will do something, but I'm going to make a connection to my brain that when I'm not responding to an urge, it's not a shit show misery fest. It's like, we're going to get to do something that we would like to do right now. A lot of times I also write. Guys, when I'm having food urges or when I want wine or whatever, very often I just get out my journal and I just write. Just writing that I want it and that it's okay to want it and stuff. And then be like, you know, I wonder why, like somebody just said, I fight my toddler regularly. No, we don't fight with toddlers. Guys, think about a fucking toddler. If you're having an argument with one, you're going to be exhausted. We do not fight with them. We calmly talk to them. Your brain just wants something. That's it. There's nothing more dramatic going on. The worst that's going to happen is your brain's going to want ice cream, cookies, brownies, cheesecakes, pizzas, donuts, whatever it is. And your mouth's going to fucking water. You might even gin up a stomach juice. That's what's physically happening. But you guys are like, oh, I just can't handle it. Because all your brain goes to is like, I'm going to lose control. I'm going to do all this other stuff. You wouldn't even worry about that piece if you weren't like, you wouldn't be afraid of that if at the other end of it wasn't a throat punch and a, like you slapping yourself around a while. Y'all are going to have to get over that piece. So when you're having a food urge, when like, you, what's the best way to get out of my own way? You need to be really crystal clear on what's in your way. It's the food at 4, the food at 8, the bites, licks, and tastes I do, the whatever. We have to like remember that we have to be very specific about what's going on. Because if you want to get out of your way, you have to know what's happening and you can't judge it. It's just your data. That's it. All right. Sarah, I'm not eating all my planned food. Do I count that as following my 24-hour on the 4 basics tracker? Yes, I would still count that. Like if you're not hungry and you're saying no to it, that counts. Did a good job in January holding myself accountable. February, suck and ask. Any suggestions? Do what you did in January. Write about what worked in January. Here was how I was thinking. This month, here's what I'm doing. Here's the stark difference. If it can happen in January, there was no magic to January. There was a thought that led to good actions. So if you were doing really good, holding yourself accountable in February, January, just start doing that again in February. That's literally all it takes, guys. I constantly, like when I'm trying to like repeat a successful pattern with myself, I think about, like I will write, back when I was doing it, here were the things that I did. Here's what I was thinking about. Here were the things I looked forward to each day. I felt these things. And then I start thinking about, okay, so obviously that's not happening now. So what am I feeling and thinking and doing now? How do I put that stuff back into play? So for me, a lot of times it's like if I was really focused or something like that, then I think about this time, like, okay, like, I need to wake up each day and I need to come up with thoughts that are going to help me be focused. And I need to have a plan that triggers focus. And I need to have things that happen during the day that trigger me to be focused. Sometimes I set up like outside accountability. I will tell Chris like, hey, will you text me at such and such time and ask me how I'm doing on this project? Ask me how I'm doing here. My girlfriend and I, when we talk about food and stuff, we check in with each other each day and we hold ourselves accountable. I don't go in there and be like, well, I didn't do what I said. I go in there and I say, this happened because I was thinking and feeling this. Tomorrow my plan is, will you make sure you check in with me? Just send me a text. That's such a huge difference maker. A lot of times we just sit around and talk about what's not working like it's the facts. It's like, no. When you're talking about it like it's just not working, it's just not working is not a fact. It's always driven by a thought. We need to figure what that is, and then we need to get to the one that's going to work. For a lot of you, it's not going to be like something like, I'm amazing and I'll be able to do it. the thought is going to be like, I'm willing to put this plan in action today, even though I'm not really going to want to. And here's all the times I'm not going to want to do it today. And here's what I'm likely to say to myself today. And here's like some stuff that I can set up around it to make it a lot easier to make the right choice. So look, if you have certain foods that you tend to overeat, and you don't have to keep them in your house. Like, I don't get rid of foods because I'm afraid I can't control myself. I always say, the reason why I'm not going to keep this in my house is so that when it's time to eat healthy, the decision's easy. If this is all I got, the decision's a lot easier. And then sometimes, like, the boys keep stuff, and it's, like, stuff I'm not going to have. So I just make it easier, harder to find it. I will tell Chris, like, here's my plan for today. If I want to eat pork rinds or whatever it is at night, here's what my plan is. So when I come to you and I'm wanting them, I just want you to just look at me and remind me, hey, that's not on your plan. I'm going to tell you, in the moment, I don't always love when that happens. But the next day, I love that I had my back to just be like, in the moment. When I'm assessing my weeks, I'm not losing, even though my last action was to leave food behind at every meal. So my level up has been to stop halfway and assess, but my mind keeps resisting this. What am I doing wrong? Nothing. You're going to have to just stop. Like, you need to like count on that your mind's going to resist. Now you need a plan for when your mind's going to resist. Like, you just keep planning the same thing and having the same problem happening. So now you need to address the next problem. Like, rather than saying, I'm going to eat half, then don't even bring half to the table. Like, well, if I'm going to do half, I guess what I'm going to be doing is making myself less. So, like, if you can, like, let's say, one thing I would do, too, is if you're not losing, look at where in your level up where you're saying I'm going to stop halfway and assess, but my mind keeps resisting this. I would just, like, bring only half. I wouldn't even bring the full thing. I would just be like, I now prepare myself for half, and if I'm hungry, I can eat an hour later. I would try that. Just give yourself, like, say, for 3 days, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to see what that's like just for, even if you did it for a day. Just say, like, for 1 day, this is how I'm going to do it. I can do it 1 day. And then if it worked and you're okay with it, say, okay, well, I'll do it again tomorrow. Then after a while, you just get to where you plan it that way. And about half of what you normally prepare yourself is probably about what might work for you. And you're like, oh, okay. And it's not that big a deal. What you do when you start like 1 day at a time and stuff is you end up giving yourself evidence that it's that stopping. What's happening when you're resisting the stopping is because you're thinking something like it's going to be so awful. Your brain is constructing a story around like, girl, it's going to be terrible when you stop eating. I mean, God, what if you binge later? Oh my gosh, what if you get hungry? Surely the world will end. The world ain't going to end if you get hungry. You know what's going to happen? You'll go get a snack if you need to. If you're already eating off plan by eating the whole thing and you're planning not to, I would much rather you just eat half and say, like, I could have a snack later if I really need it. Eat off plan for a couple days. You don't know if you're going to need it or not. And then if you eat off plan with a little snack, you say, like, all right, here's what I can have, an apple or whatever it is. Then you end up doing like, okay, I didn't even really need it. Or you end up like, yeah, now I need to just plant an apple because when I eat half, I need just a little something. So I'd rather plant it so that I can have that decider if I actually need that little something. Because eventually what happens is when you start eating less, your body adapts, and then it quits sending hunger signals later. The biggest problem for you guys is you got to get used to the idea that you're probably going to eat a lot less than what you think you want or need. Your body just doesn't require near as much food as we serve it. We're Americans. Well, everybody but Carmen, she's here. But let me just tell you what's happening in the developed world. Let me just say, all of us that are on this Facebook Live or listening to this are probably have an iPhone or a Droid. We have access to the internet. We're living in abundance. Back in the day, they did not eat as much as we do, and they didn't sit there and say like, oh my God, 3 times a day I need to eat a lot of food or I'm going to binge. No, they did not do that. We've just been taught by social conditioning, guys. The more we get into the habit of thinking like, oh, it's probably not going to take as much. I'll get used to it over time. You don't have to just like suddenly stop eating all the food, but you can slowly reduce it And yeah, it's shocking. You go to other countries where they're not as developed as us, and you look at what they eat as a meal, and then go out and fucking do work all day, like labor. I ain't talking about our kind of work. Like real, God-honest labor in a hot sun shit. You will be like, oh my God. Like they can do all that and their metabolism works? Yeah, it does. Pretty fucking well. All right. Yes, I say the internets a lot. Chris and I have always called it the internets. We're always like, hey, you think that like WWW thing's going to like catch on? I struggle with accountability partners because it feels too much like people-pleasing. If I'm doing well, it's a great reinforcer, but if I get off track, I worry more about letting that other person down than I do about letting myself down. In the past, it sent me into some unhelpful spirals. How can I reframe this to get more out of it? Joyce, first of all, you're not letting them down. But here's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking that. I think the thing that you've got going on here is that you think that what you, like, you think that that is what's sending you into an unhealthy spiral. Whether you show up for someone else or not with your own actions doesn't send you into an unhealthy spiral. What you think about it does. So we just need you to, like, be okay. I just told my accountability partner that I just shit the bed with my food last night. Now, what is your thought? We just need to clean that up. It doesn't need to be, I let her down. It needs to be, I don't want to have to tell her that again tomorrow, so I should probably fix my shit. Like, let me figure this out. Maybe she's got good advice. I don't want you to think about you wanting to show up for your accountability partner like a champ with your own actions as unhealthy. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want you to make it mean like that's kind of a good thing. That's an extra layer of help for me. But the biggest thing that I would do when it comes to this, Joyce, is that, like, your unhealthy spirals have nothing to do with having external accountability. Your unhealthy spirals have everything to do with you worrying about what other people think. It's probably really good for you to have an external accountability partner so you can work on that shit. You need to worry about what other people think a lot until you quit worrying about what other people think. Keep showing up for it until you teach yourself, like, hey, look, here's why I'm really showing up. It's not because I really worry about what she thinks. It's about I feel bad about what somebody else thinks. I want you to think about this. None of you worry truly about what other people think because their thoughts don't ever hurt you. It's what you think about their thoughts. So what I would do is, like, let's say that for all the model girls that do the model, you can put, sorry, Karma. Karma said, hubby just walked in from work to she just shit the bed. Yeah. It's always fun times around here at the P&P. I have the great sayings. So I want you to think about the model. You can put, like, for all of you who worry what other people think stuff, just put their thoughts in the C line. Let's just pretend that you're, like, sitting there and you're like, okay, she thinks I shit the bed. Your thought needs to be, that's her opinion. I kind of think I shit the bed too. Time to get to work. It could be as easy as that. Like, but when you think, like, when she's thinking about you shitting the bed and your thought is, oh my God, she thinks I'm a terrible person. I probably am. Like, that's when we start getting into the unhealthy spiral. Her thoughts, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, never send you into the unhealthy spiral. It's always you're thinking about her thoughts. Guys, if you're going to, like, invite yourself into someone else's brain to assume what they're thinking about you, why not assume the best? Think, like, okay, whenever I overeat, and whenever I screw up royally, here's what I want to assume other people think about me. Why don't we spend time doing that rather than trying to figure out how to not have an accountability partner? Because that's scary. No! We need to think like, all right, here's the shade people might think. And here's the way I will think. Here's also when I'm a donkey butt with my plan and I think other people are going to think something. Here's what I'm going to be willing to think. I no longer think my fat girl thinking about their thoughts. It is like, I swear to God, we try so hard to figure out a way to have doo-doo thoughts about ourselves, whether they're in our own head or in someone else's head. I just want you guys to just make me like a promise. I swear to fierce leader Corinne. That's a joke between me and Kathy. But I swear to fierce leader Corinne that from now on, for every shitty thought I have about myself and every shitty thought that I put on someone else about myself, I will give equal voice and value to a good thought about myself and something they might actually be thinking that's good about me. Because if the shitty thoughts can happen, guess what? So can good ones. You're just making shit up in your brain at all times, guys. That's all that's ever happening. So if you're going to make some shit up, then make up some good ones. How do you get over the habit of explaining what you're doing to other people? I've been trying to focus on me more, so I have stopped working so late at night. I find myself wanting to explain that I'm prioritizing what to do and then feeling like I'm being judged. They probably are judging you. The problem isn't that they're judging you. The problem is that you think judgment's a bad thing. Let them think what they want. You can't. I don't care if you explain it to them. I don't care if you decide not to explain it to them. If you want to go home and say nothing, say nothing. But here's what I would do in this. Like, I'm focusing more on me. If I was you and you're somehow feeling like that's a bad thing or needs explaining or worrying about people judge, then you need to practice continuing to explain yourself and not in an apologetic way. It's time for you, Elizabeth, to step up and say like, yo, I'll be going home. I'm doing a lot more work on myself. I've just decided I need to work on myself. They're probably thinking, I agree. Like, here's the problem. Like, I don't even understand why you get upset. It's probably like, you think you need to work on you. And you're upset that somebody else is like, I agree. You probably should work on yourself. Or they're thinking, no, you should stay here at work. Well, then in that case, they're wrong. And you're just like, okay, I'm going to let them think that. I used to think that I should stay at work too. I've changed my mind and my opinion. After a while, they'll change theirs too when they keep seeing me go home, still be a champ all day long, and that suddenly I'm going to be like a better person in a few weeks because I've been going home and working on myself. We all can agree. Like, that's all that has to happen. But if I was you, I would say it out loud every single night. I'd be like, I would just like everyone to know I will be going home. It's time to work on Elizabeth. Elizabeth's got so much stuff to work on personally. See you chickens tomorrow. That's what I would do. And then you get used to being okay with people judging you. You get used to being okay with saying out loud, you're worth it. You get used to having conversations that right now you're trying to figure out. I'd like to figure out a way to stop all this stuff. It's like, no, the best way to stop it is to own it. That is the best way to own it or to stop it. I had my worst week in PNP last week, and scattered throughout all my notes were making sure I knew how proud I was for having the data to make changes and do better. That is good. The accountability modules have been a game changer, serious game changer. That's good, because that's what we want. When we're like having, an off week, right? When we're like, oh my gosh, like I, you know, ate my face off or whatever. You want that data, because there's going to, like, this is the part that I want you guys to think about. You guys get so caught up in your self-judgment while it's going on that you forget about your future self. There's going to be the future self of you who's in a week or a couple weeks or in a few days or whenever. You know what she's going to want? To know what was happening. Because at one point, at some point, she's going to get sick of her own shit. She's going to be like, I'm fucking sick of this. And she doesn't want to be sitting there trying to figure out what to fix. Like, I don't even know what to fix. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know what happened. I couldn't tell you what my problems were. I don't know what my thoughts were. That's bullshit. Have her back. If you're going to like overeat and stuff, have your future self's like back and say like, I am going to track all the data for you. You're going to know exactly why we were eating, what we were feeling, why we were doing it. I'm going to have so many collected, perfect plans. You will have no doubt what needs to be fixed. I got you, future self. Like, y'all need to be thinking about that stuff. Rather than sitting there and douching out on her by, like, not doing anything for her. You overeating and wasting the knowledge does not help your future self. She has nothing to look back at. She has, when she has her ass full, like, she, let's say she gains 4 pounds. When her ass is full and she's like, oh my God, I had my come to Jesus. I gained some weight and like, I got to get my shit together. She wants data. You know what she doesn't want? To carry a bunch of like bullshit, shame, judgment, hopelessness, and not knowing what's going on shit with her. She ain't got time to waste trying to remember what was going on a week ago when you were face down in Girl Scout cookies. She wants to be able to read exactly what was happening on the day you were face down in the Girl Scout cookies. She's like, oh, I know. That's what I would do. I feel very accountable to myself. I plan and assess daily. This is Erin. She needs her name said because she's down 65 pounds. But I'm leaving on vacation for almost 2 weeks and I'm having a lot of BS thoughts and fear popping up. Hang on, my thingy's got a screen. How do I work through this? The first thing that I would do, Erin, is tell yourself, calm down. The reason why you've lost 65 pounds is because you figured out how to listen to your body. The amazing thing that happens on vacation is your body goes everywhere with you. So you do not need to have like internet access, crazy ass apps. You don't have to be on your phone. You don't have to have calorie counts. You don't have to have any of that. And you just tell yourself like, if I've got paper, a pencil, and my stomach and brain with me, I got all I need to lose my weight on vacation. So you get to decide, do I want to lose weight on vacation? Do I want to maintain? Or am I okay with a couple pounds and having a few extras that are planned and well thought out? And here we go. Like, what do I want out of it? And then be like, okay, and I'm gonna work for it. And then you have a total reentry plan. So one of the things that's always worked for me on vacations is when I go on vacation, I always have what I call reentry plan. It's not a detox and bullshit like that. It's like, I make sure that the groceries and the food gets prepped the day of. I plan out everything I want to eat for the week when I get back so that none of that ever, ever, ever has to like be on my mind on vacation. So that when I'm on vacation, I'm like, I've already got my back for going back home. I get to look forward to having my plan. I get to look forward to my healthy foods. And I would also on the reentry plan your favorite healthy foods. Like all the things you enjoy the most. So you're looking forward to getting back into that healthy lifestyle. And then when you're on vacation, you just decide. If I was you, Erin, make sure you go through handling the holidays. That's the course. Just listen to those modules before you go. We talk a lot about vacations and stuff. And if you go to the No BS, there is a whole, there's a module and where there's a unit ongoing, like taking all of it with you. So listen to all that to kind of like geek yourself up. But one of the things that I do when I'm on vacation is I just remember every day I write a plan. Like I have had plans that I have scribbled on a sheet of paper that was in the hotel room in Vegas when Chris and I were going to be at poolside drinking all day long. And here's what I do. Breakfast is my normal coffee. Then I do like, if I'm going to have like lunch, a lot of times when I have coffee and I'm going to be by the pool all day, I'm hot as balls because I'm in like Vegas and it's 110 degrees. I'm usually not hungry. I'm like, okay, so I don't really need to plan a meal there. But I know at about 3 o'clock that I'm going to be a little hungry. So I'll be like, okay. So I'm like, I just kind of think about things and I just plan it out. And then on that plan, it'll say, start drinking at 1, stop at 9. Or it'll say 6 drinks today. Like sometimes I plan like all the drinks. Sometimes I'll say like, all right, today, because we've been here for a few days, I'm going to start drinking at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to drink water like a boss all day. But I just always like go into vacations knowing that I'm just going to plan and not lose my habit of planning. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to be thoughtful. And my 2 to 2 goes with me everywhere. And I also assess myself each day. Now, when I'm in Vegas, I always do it the next morning because the last thing you want to be doing is doing your assessment when you've been drinking all day. It's quite colorful if you do. But you do your assessment the next day so that the whole time you're there, you're just keeping the spirit of all the habits with you. You're constantly challenging yourself to listen to your stomach. You're constantly making a quick plan, like a 90-second plan. You do not need to know every place you're going to eat and what restaurant you're going to. There are plenty of things that you can plan and get ahead of and think about. It's all about thinking ahead. And then you think about like, all right, so here's my plan. And the next day, like if you, let's say you, you know, blow it or whatever, then you plan better for the next day. Because the one thing you don't want to practice on vacation is like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to, you know, eat whatever I want since I'm here. They're like, no, I refuse to do that. I can eat whatever I want while I'm here, but it will all get thought out first. I'm no longer just going to like turn my brain off to food. There's no sense in needing to do that. I always get to choose. So I hope that helps. You talked of looking back at your weekly assessments instead of all your daily ones at the end of the month, which I love, but I'm not seeing a weekly assessment in my binder. Are you talking about the Hello Scale worksheet? You can do the Hello Scales. You also, there's a weekly planner sheet that has a keep, start, stop. That's what I'm talking about. I look at what do I need to keep, what do I need to start, what do I need to stop. Usually that tells me plenty of information. And then the Hello Scales, when you look at those, that will tell you what you are doing and you are not doing for the week. So that's what I look at, and that's how I like to roll it up. I don't like to have to like prowl through all of them. I also, guys, in the accountability program, we added a way to like kind of give you some calculations as to how current you're on plan and stuff. The next time that we do some like updates to planners and stuff, we're going to try to incorporate that into the whole planner itself. But I just keep some loose leaf paper in the back of my planner. And I have a sheet. I read that book, Bullet Journaling, and I just have a sheet that just has like a few things that I like to track for myself. And I check them off or draw an X, whether I did them. And I just have a quick like, oh, I'm really on plan. Like, oh, I'm really not. And it will like show you too. So I do that. That's just some new stuff though I'm playing with. I am writing us a planning course. I think it's going to be in April. It may have to be in May. I'm trying to lay everything out. Next month is definitely overeating though. We're going to be doing a deep dive into overeating. I've started reading my books for it. But I'm playing a lot with learning all kinds of planning things to kind of figure out like what's going to help us best, like really figure out like what to track and stuff. It's kind of like, now that we understand accountability and we're setting up our groups and we're setting up our personal accountability, it's kind of like also, I want to like take planning and assessing to another level too. I just think they're really important. What is the best way to overcome the habit of feeling I must eat at set feeding times instead of when I'm hungry? Need to rewire my brain. The best way to break the habit of feeling I must eat at set feeding times is to quit eating at set feeding times. That's the only way to rewire that. The only way is to like notice that you think that and it's like, but I don't need to. Like, I think I do. I want to. It's normal to think that I need to eat right now. I'm going to wait 20 more minutes. Like, literally, you need to wait until you're hungry. Just wait until you're hungry. And you just tell yourself, there's nothing wrong with waiting until I'm hungry. I've just learned other ways, and now I'm learning a different way. But that's how you do it. Like, the only way to break a habit is to break the habit. And to, like, just tell yourself. I mean, it's just easy to just, like, it's easy to think, like, keep thinking, oh, like, I don't want to feel like I should eat at a set time and then eat at a set time. Or you don't eat at a set time and you say, one day I won't feel like eating at a set time because now I'm not doing that anymore. That's kind of where you want to go with it. Working on the getting out of my way worksheet, stuck on how I want to show up for myself daily, weekly, monthly. I feel like weekly and monthly are just more of the same, working the basics. So can you give examples of what else you might have for weekly, monthly that are different than daily? So if I was writing how I want to show up for myself, so let's say that I want to, on the daily, I would put like, I want to show up for myself with very intentional actions. And those are, so it would be like, you know, I'm drinking my water. I'm doing my 24-hour plan at, you know, 5 a.m. Like I'm very specific. Like I, this week I'm getting these out of the pantry and putting them on the desk. So this is number three for the day. Yes, I'm drinking Evian, but where my husband is a total water snob and he orders all the water. But so I put three on my desk. So that was like a plan for me to make sure that I'm tripwiring to make sure I'm getting my water in. So like I'm very intentional. So that's how I want to show up for myself daily. If it was like the weekly, like on a weekly, I want to be organized. I want to be thoughtful. I want to be planned out. I want to make my decisions ahead of time. The best way I want to do that is by making sure that I have my food prepped and ready, or that I have my weekly schedule done so that I know when I'm eating out and when I'm not eating out, and I can look forward to it for the week. And I can also be aware of when people might want to ask me to eat out and I'm going to need to say no. So like for me, a lot of the weekly plan, like for the weekly, it's like thinking about things on a bigger level. And then how do I want to show up for myself monthly? It's more about like, I want to be goal focused. So for me, showing up for myself for the month looks like I want to be goal focused. I want to make sure that each day I'm writing my goals down, that I'm never losing that focus. I want to make sure that I'm always willing to assess my month honestly. I want to look at like how, what I can springboard this month's learning off to next month's learning, whatever it may be. So that's kind of how I would do it. Like to think about it as different, like it's more granular, like granular at the weekly level. And then as you go to the, at the daily level, then you go to the week where it's more like decisions ahead of time, thinking about how this week is going to work. It's kind of like a bigger picture. Then the month is like the big picture. Like here's the goal I want for the month. And here's how I think I need to accomplish it throughout and set myself up for a good month. And here's how I'm going to make sure the daily and the weeklies are playing out. If there is food left over on my plan and I swap that out for other food, is that an overeat? It's not necessarily an equal though. Example, I had a small chocolate shake on my plan. Didn't eat that, but justified eating four Oreos. When it comes to foods like that, here's what I'm going to say. I would not switch. If you were switching an apple for an orange, I would be like, dope, let's do it. But I just think that this is my opinion. This is not coaching, okay? But my opinion after years and years of working with women who need to lose weight and losing my own 100 pounds, that when it comes to the treatier foods that we're putting on our plans, that we need to just either have the chocolate shake or we don't have anything at all. And we don't open ourselves up for negotiation when it comes to foods that we know long-term they can be on our plan, but they can't be like the basis of how we eat. You know, like when we're talking about chocolate shakes, we're talking about Oreos and stuff. There's nothing wrong with those foods, but they sure as hell aren't going to make us live a long time. You know, it's not like apples and oranges. So when those foods are coming, that's why I think for you, it's like I justified by eating four Oreos. It's like, so what's going to happen the next time you eat? Are you going to justify five? Like you're just opening the door for slippery negotiation. I would totally call that eating off plan and just been like, why was a chocolate shake not enough? Because what you want to do is you want to get to where you're like, you're following your plan. I have sat with discomfort, thought downloads about the physical feelings and know they will go away. Is it okay if I don't know the thought driving that feeling? It's fine. If you have the physical feelings and you'll know they go away, I would just keep looking, Lisa, though. There's always a thought driving the feeling. The good thing about when you find the thought, you're like, oh, so now whenever it comes up, I don't have to wait for it to, here's the real deal. I don't have to wait for the physical manifestation of how it feels in my body to like change gears. So if you can keep looking for the thought and you finally start finding the thoughts, then when those happen, you get to change gears before you feel like shit. The accountability work, I think, will be the key for me. I beat myself up and eat to silence the negative voice. Can you give me a tip on how to stop telling myself the BS thoughts? When you have trouble telling yourself they are not true, the negative thoughts still overrule the positive things I tell myself. So first step is always, when you are having your terrible thoughts, you have to say, I don't talk to myself like that anymore. I don't talk to myself like that anymore. I'm so surprised that I'm saying that to myself because I don't talk to myself like that anymore. You have to start assuming the identity and the role of someone who does not talk to themselves like that anymore. It would be just like if you were going to quit smoking. I'm not a smoker anymore. Even if you smoke a cigarette, you're not going to be like, oh, well, I guess I'm just a smoker. That means if you say that, guess what happens? You start smoking again. If you're like, ooh, I'm not a smoker anymore. I don't know why I'm smoking. Let me put that out. Or you smoke a whole cigarette and be like, that's it. No more. I'm not a smoker. I'm determined that I am not a smoker. It's the same thing with the way we talk to ourselves. But like smoking, the craving will be there a long time. You will want to do it. Same thing's going to happen with the thoughts. The thing that's different between a cigarette and a thought is a thought can just float on in. A cigarette doesn't just float on into our mouth. So I need you to not worry so much around stopping, I need to stop the BS thoughts. You don't need to stop them. We need to stop believing them and then let the thoughts keep on coming in because you are for sure going to keep having them. That's why we have to quit, guys. You have to quit wanting your shitty thoughts to quit coming. They're going to come. So wanting them to go away is a waste of time. It's a waste of energy that can be spent on saying, I don't talk to myself like that anymore. What would I say? What does the person who likes me say? What does the compassionate person in me say? If I'm going to act as if someone who no longer talks to themselves, what conversation would I be having right now? Doing that consistently, for those of you who are really trying to break the habit of saying shitwad things to yourself, you need to, every single morning when you wake up and you do your journaling, you need to start with three nice things about me. Find some shit. Always be on, re-emphasizing and looking for, this is how I got it right today. This is how I will get it right today. This is why I like me today. And you do not repeat things every single day. You always are coming up with new stuff. Now, after a few days, if you want to repeat something, fine. But you don't repeat it the next day. That challenges your brain to start really uncovering stuff that you might like about yourself. Eventually, the more you do that, the more you might believe it. But if you just keep the same shit on repeat, that's all you're going to get. The other thing is when you're practicing new beliefs and when you're doing that piece of the work, guys, when it comes to all that accountability, the nice thing is that while the nice stuff's happening, the old stuff can't be. Your brain can only hold space for one thing at a time. That's just the way it works. So keep doing that. Let's see, what was the other thing? When you have trouble telling yourself they are not true, you can just say, a lot of times I tell myself this stuff's not true. That's all right. I'm going to tell myself anyway. No harm in lying. Because here's the thing that you need to remind yourself. The stuff that you're telling yourself, the shitty stuff, it ain't true either. Everything you tell yourself is a made up fucking lie. It's some story you're concocting about yourself. If you think you're a terrible person, that's also a story and a lie. If you think you're an amazing person, guess what? That's a story and a lie. It's all stories. The only thing we know about you is you're human. Human being. I'm Corinne. I am Corinne the human with blonde bleach hair. Everything else, guys, when you think, when I call myself fierce leader or, whatever it is I think about myself, that shit's not true either. That's just a bunch of collection of things I tell myself about me. Just like on the days I wake up and I think I'm terrible and that I'm surely not ever going to be able to help one single person, whatever that means. Shit ain't true either. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. It matters what you're telling yourself and what you're willing to keep telling yourself. Then eventually you do start feeling like it's true. And then that's when the sweet spot happens. But I think the easiest part for you to really understand is that we're all making shit up every single day. about everything. We make shit up about our mistakes. We make stuff up about how great we are. We make stuff, you're making stuff up about your kids. If you think your kids are amazing, there's just as many people out there that think their kids are amazing and yours is a donkey. We all think our kid is better. Just know that. Does it make your kid any less better? No. Just means we're all making something up. It's the way it goes. So that's what I would think I would like focus more on. Is like telling yourself, it's like, the negative stuff ain't true either. None of it's true. I'm just going to sit here and tell myself a bunch of fucking lies until I figure out which ones make me feel good. Then I'm going to roll hard in that. All right. That's it, guys. We're done. I want to let everybody know a couple things. I'm going on vacation starting on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. I will be checked out. I am leaving you in the uber capable hands of Miss Kathy Hartman, Miss Betsy Kimbrell. Almost can't get it out. I've called her Miss Hart for so long. And Miss Mary Jo McDonald. They will be your fearless leaders while I am gone. For some reason, and Sadie will be still helping you guys if you have any kind of questions or anything. Mr. Crabtree will be visiting the great state of Minnesota to take Logan Crabtree tubing. Thanks to all the girls who said, all of you who said that you are living in Minnesota, y'all helped him. He read your thread. He's so excited and stuff like that. Felicia, you said you only go on vacation in the summer. I rarely go on a winter vacation, but let me tell you where I'm going. So I'm going to San Antonio, Texas for 3 days with one of my best friends in the whole wide world. A lot of you know her. Some of you don't. A lot of you are newer and you don't, but her name's Jane. She was a coach here for a long time at PNP. She's still a tribe member, but she no longer coaches. And she and I are, we love thought work. So here's our big vacation. We are going to San Antonio and we're going to hole up at a hotel and we are going to sleep a lot. And we are planning on Thursday to not do much. We're going to go walking around a golf course and stuff. On Friday morning at 8 a.m., we are going to do a body wrap. And then we're going to spend some time in a hot tub. And they have like a spa type place. We're going to do some of that. Then we're going to go back to the room. We're going to nap again. And then we're going to go walking and talking. And then we're going to go back to the spa. And we're probably just going to run our mouths for 3 straight days. And then on Saturday, she's actually playing golf. And I'm going to ride around the golf cart with her because I don't play golf. And we are taking a lot of books on overeating because she's fascinated with overeating just like I am. And we are going to brainstorm and talk theory and solve the world's problems. And then we plan to have a few drinks on Friday and Saturday night and just laugh and giggle and talk about memories and all kinds of good stuff. So I am so looking forward to it. I have not had a vacation like this in years, like literally years, where I am deciding to check out and just be with a girlfriend and not even taking my husband and my son. I almost always vacation with Spoonie, or I vacation with a big gaggle of girls from PNP where I tend to coach a lot and stuff. So it's going to be, I'm doing it on purpose because I want to go and I want to be very intentional with letting my brain take a break. I've been doing so much like brainstorming for you guys and consuming and writing content and stuff that I'm like, I want to give it a break. So I want to come back strong and hard for, the spring. I just have too many exciting things planned for you guys. It's crazy. So that's what I'll be doing. And then the boys will be in Minnesota having boys weekend while I'm having girls weekend. Then I'll be back Monday. I may be on the coaching Zoom on Sunday afternoon. She flies home on Sunday and I promised that while we were together that I would not be working. Unless I pop into Facebook to like be like, here we are having a good time. Wish you were here. But we are, if her flight is early on Sunday, earlier than we think it's going to be, I think she's going to leave the hotel and I might be able to do my Zoom call on Sunday. But we had always planned that Zoom call would be up in the air depending on what is going on. But I want to honor that she and I don't get to get together very much, just the two of us anymore. And we've been planning this for 6 months, so we're going to have a good time. And I will, for all of you, Mandy, I will tell her you said hello for all of the old school. I will let her know. She pops in every now and then. I'll have to get her to come in and do a post or something and just say hey to everyone. So, but yeah, it'll be fun. And then Don't Stop Believin's open. So don't forget to get registered. Tomorrow night is the first Q&A with Jill Angie. So you don't want to miss that. And if you are planning on doing it, the training program started today. And then it will, but if you for some reason can't join for a week or two and you need to wait, then I'm not getting a facial, Felicia. Don't worry. I'm getting a body wrap, just a body wrap and a massage. Felicia's like my esthetician hookup. She's always like, hey. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah. So the plan is always written to where you can sign up later if you need to. It's written with plenty of buffer and all that kind of good stuff. I think that's it. I think it's all I got. I'm going to go eat dinner. Haven't had anything to eat since like 12 o'clock today. I had my coffee and worked at Panera this morning. And then I had some lunch and going to have some dinner with my spoonie and go on to bed. Will it replay? Yeah, everything will always replay. So the Jill Angie call inside the Don't Stop Believing group will store it and have it in replays for you guys and all that stuff. Just won't be in the main tribe. All of those things will be in Facebook and in I guess Kathy, I didn't even think about this. We need to set up a private page for Don't Stop Believing so that they can have all their calls and stuff. All right. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.